It's here and now. So how is today's government shutdown shaping up historically, even as it's just beginning? In 1995 and 96, the government shut down twice for 26 days total. That was the longest shutdown in history. But there have been more than a dozen since the 70s. There was the shutdown of 1976 during a budget debate between President Ford and a Democratic Congress. There was a 12-day shutdown in 77 under President Jimmy Carter. It focused on abortion funding. There was a shutdown in 1981 after President Reagan deadlocked with Democrats over tax cuts. So when did shutdowns become a political tool? And how is today's shutdown different, if it is? Julian Zelitzer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. He joins us from their studios. Julian, first of all, tell us, because we're mentioning 95, 96, 71. We're also hearing people say that this is the first time this has happened in 80 years. So what distinctions are people making?
I think a short history would be that until 1980, you did have government shutdowns, including the one under President Ford. They were usually about specific spending issues. The government would continue to function. After 1980, when the Carter administration makes a ruling that government workers could not come into work in these conditions, the potential of a shutdown becomes more severe. You continue to have battles, but they're usually just for a few days. They're skirmishes, primarily symbolic. And then it's in 95 and 96 when you have the first serious shutdown combined with workers not going to work, where I think we enter into the period that we're currently still living under.
Well, and others have noted that past shutdowns have dealt with budget differences, something you can resolve by moving the numbers around. I mean, there's somebody who caves, but it's more a matter of math. Today's shutdown is an attempt to stop a law that's already in place.
Absolutely. The ones in the 1970s involved issues like Medicaid funding for abortions. In the 1980s, they were about issues like funding for MX missiles or jobs programs. And even the mid-90s was about issues like Medicare spending. What we're seeing now is using the threat of a shutdown to try to obtain other political objectives, like killing a law that went into effect today.
Well, and you compare the use of the shutdowns to the use of the filibuster. Explain.
Well, part of what happens in congressional history is legislators become comfortable using something that once was supposed to be reserved for only a few high-profile issues. So the filibuster, until the mid-70s, was really a tool just used for issues like civil rights, but not something used all the time.
So huge moments in history, something, an imperative.
Exactly. Yeah. And now people, senators, use it all the time for the most mundane matters. And we could see that happen with these kinds of budget standoffs.
Really?
Absolutely. They become more comfortable shutting down the government, threatening not to raise the debt ceiling. And you could imagine, you know, partisan control shifts and there's incentives for the Democrats to do it. This can become worse and legislators could be more comfortable doing things like this. And that's a real danger.
Well, you say incentives for the Democrats to use it. They have. But are you saying that you're seeing one party leaning more towards it? If you're just looking at this one last battle, it would seem so. But are you saying that one party has pushed it more?
Yeah, I think what we've seen clearly in the last few years is that a part of the Republican Party has become much more comfortable using this tactic aggressively, using it more as a threat than really about budget disputes. And I don't think all Republicans are in agreement that this is the right way to go, but I do think that's where this is coming from right now.
Well, and when have we seen in history what we are seeing now? You have people like New York Republican Peter King calling colleagues like Senator Ted Cruz, well, calling what he did with his faux filibuster a form of governmental terrorism. You have John McCain, you know, equally angry. When have you seen this kind of infighting within a party?
It happened in 1995 and 96. Robert Dole, who was the Senate Majority Leader and who was going to be the presidential candidate in 96, was not happy that they shut down the government. He wasn't happy with the House Republicans, especially the freshman class that was pushing this. And he was really a prime mover in reaching a resolution of this. He knew it was going to damage his party, and he was never comfortable with this kind of governance.
Well, what do you say to the Republicans, and what does history say, to the Republicans now who are saying this is no big deal, it's sort of a last stand to stop something that they really feel is damaging the country, and that again is the Affordable Health Act?
Well, one argument is that this could have, terrible electoral consequences for the party, which in the end will make it harder for them to achieve the kind of policy aims that they want to achieve. If they lose control of Congress and you have a Democrat in the White House, things will get a lot worse for Republicans in terms of policy. So at that kind of crass level, they should think about that. And obviously, the other argument is that we need to govern and we have to handle policy disputes within the processes that we have, such as creating and passing bills.
Yeah, look, we talked about this before when there was a huge battle over the passage of the Affordable Care Act and after the Supreme Court ruling upholding it. And we asked you if you could see another time in history that you could compare to the insurgents, you'd have to say, in the Republican Party, those who newly elected, haven't spent a lot of time in government, who firmly believe that shutting it down isn't that big a deal, especially for something they believe so deeply in. We asked you at that time if you could compare it to another time of history, and we were thinking of the know-nothings. You know, it was a pejorative phrase used for them. You said you didn't really see that comparison. Could you remind us what that reference is, and has your mind changed?
I don't remember the specific conversation that we were having at the time. The comparison that still comes to mind, though, is not the know-nothings. It's 1995 and the freshman Republicans who were part of the Reagan-era conservative bloc, who really not only wanted to make the Republican leadership listen to them, but fundamentally were opposed to a lot of domestic government and were comfortable allowing the government to come to a standstill. I think, those freshman Republican, more than the know-nothings, in some ways resonate with what we're seeing with some of the Tea Party. Now the leadership is just having a lot of trouble controlling them. In the end, they were able to rein them in 95 and 96.
Well, and we've talked about times when the party that's shut down the government has lost big time. Has there been a time when the party shutting down the government has won politically?
Well, of course, Republicans keep control of Congress after the 1990s. They don't lose it. So they suffer. They suffer in the presidential races. But I guess we should also remember they retain control of Congress and cause Bill Clinton all kinds of trouble. So what matters is what happens after they shut down the government as well. Are they able to come back to a stronger political posture or not?
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. Julian, professor, thanks so much as always.
Thanks for having me.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login at constantcontact.com. And Gentle Giant Moving Company, coordinating moves in neighborhoods across the country with locations nationwide. More at gentlegiant.com.